Well, folks, it's my pleasure to introduce our next guest. Stephanie Miller has emerged as a favorite of the cable news channels as political coverage dominates. Miller's national radio program is thriving in this current political climate. She is no stranger to political talk and current events. Her late father, William E. Miller, was Barry Goldwater's running mate in the Republicans' 1964 bid for the presidency. Since its September 2004 debut, The Stephanie Miller Show has become one of the most important and fastest growing shows in progressive talk. Heard across America on radio stations, on Sirius, via podcasts, and free live streaming. Stephanie's career as an entertainer began in Buffalo, New York, where she was born and raised and landed her first job in radio. Her fresh voice and political satire had been cultivated over years of experience as a media personality and comedian. Please join me and give a warm Wallowmaker welcome to Stephanie Miller. Stephanie. Oh, I kid him. Anyway, where's Jay Brophy, our karaoke?
Stephanie, is he here?
Yo, Jack.
Yeah.
You are so beautiful.
26. Yeah. Come on, bring that Joe Cocker. Don't wait till cocktails. Vice President Tom Baca finally is here. Where is he?
Right here.
Vice President Tom Baca from San Francisco. Well, he was born there. He was reared there. Anyway, let's. Excited to be here with my beautiful brotherhood of Boilermakers. Please give it up for yourselves for turning out like this today. Or as our friends at Fox News would call you, union thugs. You know what? My favorite Madison listeners, Madison, Wisconsin, sent me some pictures, and there's like an 8-year-old with a sign saying union thug. There's a 6-year-old with a sign that says, hugs from a union thug. Obviously part of the fight with you guys in taking back this debate, because I have to tell you, is that not the most beautiful solidarity I've ever seen, what's happening in Wisconsin and also now? I mean, they have woken a sleeping giant, am I right? Yeah, you go, brother, come with me. This is a pep talk. I hope so. No, I mean, you've got to look at poll after poll. Am I right? I mean, the people are on our side. We're not going to lie down. We're not going to shut up. And we're going to take back this country state by state if we have to. And I think that's what's going to happen. Look at Governor Walker, this Koch whore. He's a Koch brother's whore, sir. He's going to do so. Come with me, Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, we will see what happens. But as you know, first of all, this union-busting bill might get overturned in court. Some of these union-busting Republican senators might get recalled. And I think Governor Walker's going to get his union-busting ass recalled when that's possible. You know, they run the same play every time, don't they? They try to fearmonger, they try to divide. It's like, you know, public employees versus private employees. You know, they're going to exempt cops and firemen because those unions voted for them. They're going to, you know, Democratic, Republican. You've got, you know, our friends on right-wing radio calling you, you know, slobs and, you know, feeding off the public trough and every kind of insult known to man. And then all you got to do is look on television and go, those are hardworking men and women. Those are the backbone of this country. And here's what's happening. Obviously, their attempt so far to divide and to fearmonger is not working, is it? I mean, this solidarity you see in Wisconsin is the beginning, and now look at the protests. I know we got people here right from Ohio, from Michigan. I mean, it is unfathomable what these Republican governors are trying to do. And that's why I think, as I'm saying, poll after poll is showing people are on our side. It's Americans' basic sense of fairness, don't you think? I mean, first of all, we shined the spotlight on Wisconsin, right? He came in there. There was no budget crisis. He created it with his giveaways to the top 1% to his corporate buddies, right? To the Koch brothers. Then he tries to solve the crisis on the backs of the hardworking people in Wisconsin. You know, this is, first of all, and I think in some ways, as horrible what's happened is, it has made it clearer and clearer what our fight is. They already agreed to concessions. They've already agreed to his concessions. It has become clearer and clearer. I was just talking to somebody in the green room there, and we were saying the one Republican forgets that he's on Fox News, and he actually says, oh, this is about making sure Obama doesn't get elected. Oh, that's the part you don't say, you moron. I mean, you know, he's on Fox News, right? He's among friends. So he like, thinks it's okay. It's like, you know, idiot, that goes in the thought bubble. Inside voice. But it's become clear that that's exactly what happened. I mean, I try to explain this to people on my radio show. Because, you know, there is so much spin from the right wing, isn't there, that we're dealing with? We broke our deal with them. Let's just start in Wisconsin, with teachers, with whoever. We said, we want to pay you a little less now, but if you just hang with us later, we're going to give you this and this. And now we're going, oh, sorry, we're broke, screw you. People that had absolutely absolutely nothing to do with causing this crisis are now being asked to pay for it, for which they're saying, okay. And they're still trying to, I mean, Americans' basic sense of fairness, I don't think it is going to allow a country that was built on collective bargaining, they're going to take away their right to bargain forever? You know, or there's a, we were saying on the radio the other day, it's a form of bargaining that you probably don't recognize, right? That there's already a predetermined outcome. You can only collectively bargain within these parameters. It would be like me saying, I'm going to wrestle you, but I'm going to hogtie you first and put you in a sack. And then let's see how that goes. I mean, it is not fair. And I think that's what poll after poll is showing. Look at the auto industry, right? Concessions after concessions. We did the auto rescue bill, which was absolutely the right thing to do. The hard workers there are innovating. We're poised to be number one again. What American can't be proud of that? The American auto industry not only was saved, we're poised to be number one again. That's what happens when you give American workers a chance. Am I right?
Yes.
You're so polite. I was telling Cecil that I'm so excited to be here because what you see in the polls and all these protests, it is palpable. The anger that so many of us have, and you know, particularly those of us even that are lucky enough to have a platform, to be on TV, to have a radio show, because it just is not fair. We have only just begun to fight, or as Jack Nicholson would say, they have fucked with the wrong Marines. Am I right? You know, it was already such an interesting time to come talk to you guys. What's going on in Wisconsin, and then, you know, on top of it, as I say, Ohio and Michigan, what's spreading around the country. But look at what's happening in the world. There's a through line, isn't there? This horrible crisis in Japan. I mean, I'm sure you heard about the WikiLeaks saying they were warned a couple of years ago. They needed to, you know, that this could not withstand this. But guess what? It's expensive, right? This is why they resisted here. I believe there was a story in the paper yesterday that they lost valuable time in this nuclear crisis because they were trying to save, you know, things that were going to cost a lot of money rather than going ahead with the cooling. In our country, how many times have we seen this play out, right? You know, we've seen the BP oil disaster where they cut corners, right? They cut corners on everything, including worker safety. People are dead because of that. Look at the mining disaster and Massey Energy. Has there ever been a clearer time in this country why we need unions? Our good friend Rush Limbaugh, you don't even have to fact check these guys because they don't start with facts. So some days it's literally just like shooting fat OxyContin riddled fish in a barrel.
Safety, where were the unions here? Well, for heaven's sake, not there.
You moron, because they wouldn't let the unions in. That's why. I mean, you know, it just, how many more of these tragedies do we have to have? How many more of these issues of just basic fairness do we have to have before this? And I'm telling you, I think they have woken the sleeping giant that elected Barack Obama, because I mean, have you seen this in your lifetime, what you're seeing across Wisconsin and Ohio and Michigan? I mean, obviously, 2012 is going to be the fight of our life, and I think they have a shot coming. Literally, I think we are going to win this fight. We're going to win it together. We need you to rebuild America's infrastructure, literally and politically. And I want to fight, you know, thank you for fighting in the trenches every single day for what we all believe in. I think we are winning hearts and minds every single day. As I'm saying, I'm obviously a realist. I do this every day. But, you know, when poll after poll after poll shows the same things, you start to get, you know, a sense. I mean, how funny is it that a prank call could be what saves the Republic? This prank call in Wisconsin. Did you love this? There's Governor Wanker on the phone. Just, you know, yeah, we're going to bust these unions. Mika Brzezinski's got a nice ass, doesn't she? Yeah. So let me tell you how I'm a lot like Ronald Ronald Reagan. And the Frank guy is like, I gotta get off the phone. First of all, I'm not even David Koch, you moron. And second, I gotta get this on the internet. Can I just say, Ronald Reagan would get teabagged right out of the Republican Party today. This is the thing, you know, I talk about a lot. Obviously, you didn't mention, you know, who my dad was. My dad ran with Goldwater in 64, which, trust me, is not an applause line at a union gathering. But I bring it up to say that, trust me, I'm not the first to say that this is not a Republican Party that my dad or Goldwater would recognize today. You know, Barry Goldwater was speaking out for gay rights on the Senate floor in the 80s. He was the one that said the original about gays in the military, you don't have to be straight, you just have to shoot straight. But they worked together. They actually negotiated with the other side. There was a sense of decency there. It's interesting. You brought up that I'm from Buffalo. But, you know, it was a different time in politics, too. I'm actually from Lockport, New York, which was built by Harrison Radiator. By the way, is a radiator like a boiler? Is it? It's close, right? I'm a chick. Anyway. But, you know, and my dad's father was a janitor. His mom put him through school working at a hat shop, you know. I think there was a basic respect for hardworking people back then, for the people that have always formed the backbone of this country. It wasn't, you know, sort of all-out war the way it is now, and all you have to do, I think, is try to win one heart and mind at a time. I am going to see my 88-year-old Republican mother in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow, which, that one's a tough one. She's still Glenn Beck is like my sibling or something. I don't know, she defends him, she watches him every night. She's literally a big George Bush fan. She wrote George Bush a letter about how he was the best president ever.
Oh,
and I had to listen to the entire thing like a good daughter. I was like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, that's really nice, Mom. I think he's a war criminal. Anyway. If George Bush had been having sex with a sheep on the White House lawn, my mother would have said, "Oh, Steffi, the president's doing the best he can." The sheep look cold and lonely. Why do you hate America so much? But I'm going to go work on her heart and mind tomorrow. I know you guys are in the trenches doing it every day. I have to tell you, I come from California, where the governor out there, Arnold Schwarzenegger, tried this fight, remember? He tried this fight with the teachers and the nurses' unions, called them special interests, and let me tell you, those nurses gave him the political enema of his life. And can I just say, it made for the most entertaining politics in a while. Do you remember the debate between him and Arianna Huffington? Remember she ran for governor, too? And they had that debate where you needed, like, the fucking UN headset? Remember that? The progressive radio, television, politics, you know, we clearly have, I know that friggin' boner, right? You guys were supposed to lobby this week, and he made sure they were out of town. They recessed that bastard, that orange bastard. But, you know, we obviously have these representatives on all the time, your congresspeople and senators and all of that. So, want to open it up to question and answer anything that you want to know. I may lie, but go ahead and ask.
You know,
yes, Chewy.
Not everybody in San Francisco is gay.
I understand. I know. If you have to prove it to me later, you will. I understand. Don't be defensive, you big honk. I love that that's the first thing he wanted to clear up. All right.
doing this with cocktails next time. Cause,
I got one. Yeah. What do you think about...
That won't be long.
What do you think
yes,
about,
sir.
What do you think about Governor Christie in New Jersey?
I think he's incredibly large. He's a governor-saurus. No. Here's what... I don't know about you, but don't you hate how there gets to be a media storyline? The media storyline, he's a superstar. He's a superstar. Meanwhile, his approval ratings are exactly the same as Obama. A poll shows that if the election were held today, guess what? Obama would kick the crap out of him in New Jersey. Like, what? Why does it become... And I love the fact that if you just blurt out awful ideas in the media, they just say that's refreshing. You know, it's like, oh, I say, here's what I say, is we gotta raise the retirement age of Social Security to friggin' 104. And they're the regressives, right? Look at Wisconsin, that's repealing 50 years of union rights. This video, these civil rights, these union rights that you fought for all your life. I mean, you literally think they're kidding. You think, is it from The Onion, like the you know, satire newspaper? You're like, really? No more child labor laws? I mean, you know, what's her name? Kathy Lee Gifford must be doing back handsprays. She had all the infants make her shirts. Right, who else? Who else? Who else? Yes, right there.
Don't tell your mom.
Yeah, Buckeye. What about this Kasich in Ohio? I mean, here comes a guy from Lehman Brothers who talked the teachers into $450 million of investment to go to shit. And then they vote him in, and he wins by 2%. What the hell were they thinking?
Yeah. Listen, don't feel the need to mind your fucking language, you're on lady. I started as a dock worker. You forgot that. Yeah. Thank you. Now I'll remember it. I mean, literally, for those of us that cover the news every day, I literally say that on the radio. It is hard to keep track of all of the awful things. Just when you think what Governor Walker is doing is the most awful, then you're like, oh my God, look what Kasich is doing. Holy shit, look what Snyder's doing. I mean, Snyder's law is probably unconstitutional. I mean, you can only hope for that. But, I mean, look how the court's already stepped in Wisconsin. We'll see where it goes from here. We're having Joanne Kloppenburg, the judge, on the Supreme Court next week when I'm back, who could turn this whole thing around in Wisconsin because it'll change the balance on the Supreme Court there. Kasich, I mean, that may be the quickest case of buyer's remorse we've ever seen. Have you seen how quickly his numbers have tanked? I mean, these guys have been in office, what, weeks? Days? That's why I'm saying, like, don't lose heart. Don't let them make you... lose heart, because you've got to look at these polls. I mean, his first thing is killing the train. I mean, people are like, thanks a lot. Do you know the unemployment rate in Ohio? Those are jobs. He killed the train. I mean, it's just, it literally, every move they're making is just wrong. I mean, I think Michael Moore actually, I thought, said it best in Wisconsin. We're not broke. The country's not broke. Wisconsin's not broke. The money's in the wrong hands. This is what happens when you give all the money to the top 1% for this many years. You hear them screaming about the deficit, you're going, don't talk to me about shared sacrifice. Make the top 1% pay their fair share before you do it. Who are we kidding, those money-grubbing teachers? Why, sure, they want pencils and sharpeners. Really? They're causing the deficit, and they gotta pay for the friggin' pencils themselves. You know, I mean, it's, you know, this is the thing. I mean, Fox News' storyline is, oh, people don't like teachers. They think they're just, well, guess what? I just saw a poll out. People think we should pay teachers more. I'm getting as hot under the collar as a Boilermaker now. Got me all revved up. All right, who else? I can't even
see what is the, there. Oh, there's Mr. Microphone. Oh, and one there too. Okay.
Hi, Stephanie. Yes, Martin Williams from Local 13, Philadelphia.
Woohoo, Philly!
What is your opinion of the fairness doctrine, and do you think it should be reinstated?
Oh, dear God. The guy that owns my radio show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is here. Now you're talking our language. you know, we get asked that question a lot. The fairness doctrine is not coming back. And, you know, I don't know that that's the way to address it, but I do think fairness is a way to address it. I think programming in the public interest is a way to address it. As you guys probably know, you know, we didn't, I think John Podesta at the Center for American Progress did a study. You don't really need a study, you just need to get in your car, right, to know that literally 90% of the stations in the country are right-wing. Progressive were like 9%. What they will tell you on the right wing is because, oh, that's because it's nobody wants to listen. Oh, it's because it's failed. Oh, it's because, well, let me tell you, Madison, Wisconsin is a good case in point. We're on a great FM signal there. We were the number one station in the market. Clear Channel there was going to flip the format to sports. They said, oh, we can't sell it. Well, excuse me, but if you can't sell the number one thing in the market, maybe sales isn't your fucking thing. Right? I don't care if it's bowling. I don't care what it is. Anyway, there, and this is how I know you don't mess with Madison. There was such a, they got in the New York Times, there was such an outcry, they changed their mind. Kept it progressive, it got some new salespeople, it's doing great. You know, Miami, they took a, Clear Channel took us off and put a sports station on that has a third of the ratings we had. In Ohio, after we won the midterms of the, in the presidency, they took off every progressive station. In Columbus, Ohio, they replaced us with a station that has, and I know this is hard if you're not in the radio business, a zero rating. Meaning nobody. I think a station from Cincinnati is beating them. So, don't you know, there are people like me and Ed Schultz and Randy Rose and Bill Press and Tom Hartman who've been doing radio for 25, 30 years, and we were successful at it before there was such a thing as progressive radio. You know, we were on right-wing stations. I followed Rush and Laura on KFI in Los Angeles. I was on KBC. We've all had great ratings, or we would still be in the business. So, believe me, we feel like we're fighting the same fight you're fighting. Like, we're all under attack. And that's why I'm glad we're all in this together, you know? I know that some unions advertise in my show, or Bill Press's, or in Ed Schultz's show. We're talking to people, to, you know, high net worth Democrats about investing in infrastructure for progressive media. Because I think that's the only way that we have to fight back. Is to, in some many cities, that's happening and it's doing very well. Minneapolis, Chicago are owned not by big companies, by wealthy, you know, high net worth individuals. We're in an environment now in this economy, you just have to lease stations. You don't have to buy them, but you lease a good signal, you put on a great progressive lineup, and we could turn this around. And that, you know, it's like you're fighting for the union people that are going to come after you. We're fighting for a progressive infrastructure. We'll be there long after all of us. I mean, how much longer can my liver hold out, for God's sakes? But anyway, we appreciate you, you know, supporting us the way we support you. Because honestly, a lot of it is word of mouth, how we get ratings in these cities. It's you guys, you know, doing your email blasts and telling people. And look, you know, look at them trying to cut NPR. It's all part of this fight. We're not NPR, we're commercial radio. We do entertaining shows and we sell stuff. And that's what we need to do to keep succeeding. So I know we're all under attack and we're all in this together. So, all right. See how much longer the answer is when it's about me? Okay. Yes, who else? Over there. Hello. Oh, you. I think I can probably hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question for you. In Wisconsin, you think that... we have that recall for the senators and everything, but
yeah,
you can't recall Walker for like a year.
That's right.
He's going to lose the momentum, and he'll let him stand in for his term.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, you've seen it, right? 100,000 people, that's more than during the Vietnam War. I mean, and don't you love how, you know, Walker and the right, oh, they're not from here. Give me a break. They're all from there. Trust me, you know, mostly. Or people that support them. As I said, I don't think this is even partisan anymore, Republican, Democrat. I think people are disgusted. It's showing in the polls. And I think you're right about the logistics. the Republican senators would have to come first. You know, as I say, that's why this judgeship is such an important race coming right up. This could get turned around in court before, you know, Walker. So I don't know. I have a lot of listeners in Madison. I don't think this anger is going away by the time Walker's ready for recall. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, but it's for good people like you to not give up the fight. Not let them beat you down, because I think that, you know, we're going to see a surprise in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Michigan. I mean, this is not a handful of people. People are pissed. Yes. Yes. Over there, over here. I can't tell.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm still growing up, because you can see how short I am. But when I was growing up, being a teacher, a policeman, a fireman, that was something good. That was something you should achieve. Now they're enemies to the country. And I think what I wish...
but they're not. That's
I understand that. Yeah. But that's the perception. I wish that the left-wing radio would spend more time trying to put the onus on where the real issue is. The real issue is in the money. Follow the money.
Right.
The situation is our money against their money is still not matching their money. And if they defeat us and they take us out, it's less money they got to spend to get their agenda completed. And I just wish that we would stay on point more with that and quit trying to deal with the day-to-day events every day and really create our own point.
Well, clearly your mistake is you do not listen to every single moment of the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, that is true. And I will from now on.
Thank you. All right. But see, we do talk about that a lot. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that the only good thing about this starting in Wisconsin, it has shown a real spotlight that maybe Governor Walker wasn't. You know, look at the, you know, dirty tricks he did to get this done. You know, no one's looking. You can do this in the dark of night and sneak this through. And people are paying attention now. People can see what happened. That, like I said, he gave the money. He had the money. He gave the money away to, you know, his special corporate interests. And, I mean, how is that fair to ask teachers to sacrifice when a lot of these corporations are paying zero in corporate income tax because of all these loopholes? So absolutely we're following the money. And I'm doing fart jokes too. See. All right, just to keep it entertaining. All right. Yes, sir.
Fart joke.
No. Is this an Obama joke? The teleprompters, or do you actually use those? Yes, sir.
Over here. 2012 election, presidential. Are they going to use? That Clean Air Act, because most of the publics are for clean air, and nobody's talking about it, but when the election comes around, would it be, like, public be more aware to listen to the Clean Air Act?
The 2012 presidential election you're talking?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, the question was what?
Right now, nobody from, like, Obama's from campaign, they don't want to talk about what they're going to try to push to win the election.
Well, he's got kind of a lot of stuff going on right now, if you turn on the news. Got a few things going on in the world. Well, I think that in terms of the presidential election, first of all, he's got to get an opponent, right? I mean, we can only pray for batshit crazy Michelle Bachmann, can't we? Or Sarah Palin or somebody, some intellectual heavyweight like that to run. I mean, that's the thing, again, where I urge you not to get down. I mean, look at their side. Who's running against him? Who? I mean, you know, they can try to tell us, oh, they're defeated and dispirited and disarray. I've seen people more energized on our side, and in their side, they're sniping at each other. I've said this all along. This fight between the Tea Party and the Republican establishment may be the big fight. I mean, they may teabag right off the cliff, and you've seen that in San Francisco. It's... not personal, but you know what I'm saying. I got nothing but love. All right. Should we take a couple more? No, 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 the schedule here. I can start pole dancing if you'd like. Bridget warned me. She's like, it's all men. Yeah, well, you know, that's part of the problem, isn't it, Bridget, with, you know, their side. They don't fight fair. Do you know what I mean? If you want to have a fair fight on the issues, the problem is, and this is why I keep mentioning the polls, if you go issue by issue, state by state, in the polls, we win on the issues. I mean, you can look at every issue. People think we should solve the deficit by, you know, taxing the top 1%. They don't think we should do it by cutting into Medicare and Social Security and all of the ways that Republicans are saying we should. But so this is part of the problem. As you say, the problem is now they've gotten in power, they clearly, that's all they're interested in, is power. I mean, when you look at what Governor Walker's doing, I mean, this is why Tom DeLay, is he in prison or not? Is he close to prison? But this is what this.
Still dancing.
He's still dancing. Wish he was dancing in the shower. Anyway, but that was what that was about. It wasn't. I mean, it's because it wasn't fair, right? The redistricting that he was going on there. I mean, you know, Bridget, I'm not lying to you. We had a tough fight in 2012. I mean, with Citizens United. I mean, you know, this is the thing. Like, oh, the powerful unions. Oh, give me a break. They know that unions don't have anywhere near the amount of money that these corporations do. In terms of having a fair fight politically. So, you know, all I can tell you is it is not to be underestimated what you see happening in Wisconsin, in Madison, in Michigan, and in Ohio. We still have the people on our side, and we can still organize, and we can still get out the vote. But I hear you. They're going to use every term. Look at how they did this in Wisconsin, which literally may be illegal and unconstitutional. They will stop at nothing. Hello. Is that Governor Wenger for me? Yours is my call. Is my pants ringing? No, it's not me. All right. Who else? Yes, sir. Yes, Captain.
Do you think the Democrats will ever learn to wield power when they have it, or continue to seek bipartisan solutions to a party whose only answer is no?
Yeah, they need to get some Boilermaker balls, that's for sure. I mean, no, I hear you. And that doesn't mean descending to their level. It doesn't mean, you know, I mean, I know what you're saying. It doesn't mean you have to use dirty tricks and not play fair, but I know what you're saying is there have been issues that I'm sure you and I and all of us have been disappointed on, that you're like, what we gave you the majorities, you guys went door to door, right? There are things that absolutely they should have fought harder on. I mean, this is what happens. It's interesting someone brought up the fairness doctrine. When we had majorities, believe me, they were paying attention to stations taking off progressive stations that were doing well. There were people, whether it was Senator Stabenow, Senator Kerry, and then the minute anyone even says fairness doctrine, Fox News goes crazy and they back down. And there's no talk even about, you know, programming in the public interest or anything. So I feel your pain, you know, but we can only do what we can do, right? I mean, that's all we can do is hold those Democrats' feet to the fire and tell them, fight for us. We fought for you.
Beating them up a little bit on the radio.
I do beat them up a little on the radio. I mean, it's just when you look at the alternative, I mean, isn't that the spot you feel like you're in? Can you even imagine a President Palin and Republican majorities in the Senate and the House? I mean, I agree with you that we got to hold our feet to the fire. We got to push for what we want. But this is the problem with turnout in this last election. Look what we've got. Look at what the consequences are. I mean, Obama was in Wisconsin before the election going, you gotta, you know, I mean, so my, I know I get called an Obama apologist, but, you know, my feeling is that we gotta get out and give him more Democrats to work with, because I will say one thing, he never really had a true Democratic majority. If you call Lieberman our side, so I think he's been up against unprecedented Republican extortionism, and I think in this last election, this is not what people voted for, what these Republicans are doing. We can throw it back at Boehner. Where are the jobs? Everything you've done so far is going to lose jobs, including this new budget, right? So, yes, sir.
I think a lot of times in the media, you don't see enough television as well as radio explaining bills or the issues. Same with the teachers there. If you're going to cut the wages of the teachers, you're going to get, you know, less quality teachers.
Right.
And people just don't see the big picture a lot of times. Because, again, in the media, you're talking over a lot of people's heads a lot of times. I just constructive critique of it.
Yeah.
If the media could do a better job of explaining those types of issues to get a perspective to the average public, it'd go a lot further.
Well, I will say the one thing that we hadn't dealt with previously was Fox News. I mean, that is just a propaganda arm of the Republican Party, and they are not immune to lying. And they pretty much do on every issue. They deliberately put out misinformation. Again, we have this wall of right-wing radio stations. And then there's those of us that are fighting to get the truth out there. You know, I get on MSNBC or CNN just about every week. And, you know, again, that's all you can do is in your little universe. But I agree with you. It's like my head's going to explode with it. Just, and that's what we got to go every day. It's just debunk. We do Right-Wing World on our show every day. Where you got to debunk everything they say because it's just completely not true. I mean, you know, and they never, I mean, I think Rush Limbaugh was like, did you see these slobs in the Capitol in Madison? It cost them $700 billion to clean it up. Did you see that? That's fair money. Of course, it was just completely wrong. No one ever corrected it. They just put that out there. People go
looking for palm trees in Madison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Really, palm trees in the winter in Wisconsin. Huh. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of dishonesty, you know, that's going on the other side. And how else can you combat it but telling the truth? And you're right. I mean, we got, you know, all you can do, like, thank God, at least we have MSNBC. That's why we're asking people to fight with us to get more progressive infrastructure, get more progressive radio stations, because you're absolutely right. It's probably the way you feel fighting the Citizens United trying to fight the corporations and their money. You know, we may not have the money and the numbers on our side, but we have the people. Look at the polls. We have the people that are on our side. And, you know, yeah.
Again, a lot of things up in Marinette.
What's that?
Up in Marinette, Wisconsin, a lot of things that we had to deal with, talking to people were, say with the teachers and insurance, paying for insurance. There's always the mindset of, well, you got to expect to pay more insurance.